What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 267, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
What's going on? I had the week off last week for the podcast.
Yeah. So. If you guys...
handsome face in my spot, too.
Winston. If you guys missed it, last episode or last week, we had a guest on, Winston from Funky Kit. The way I like to do it is just kind of talk about them, right? So we talked about how he got into the industry, how he runs his website, those type of things. So if you're interested in that, definitely check out the previous episode, episode 266. We had a lot of fun during that one. Gave Ryan the week off. Which was dealing with some crazy fires and some other stuff going on. And I've just been packing, dude. This is the last episode in this space right here. It's the last one. Yep. Which I would excited? Say...
I think you're excited for the new place for sure, right?
I'm super excited for the new place. I'm not excited...
Not so going to miss I'm that like, place.
I would say I'm like 80% packed, right? And... I'm not excited to like just continue packing. So that's all I've been doing for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm not excited for the drive. So I'm driving from Pittsburgh to California, which is like 4 day drive.
Yeah. If you want to be sane after it. Yeah. It's a long drive.
Yeah. It's a long drive. I like basically the first 3 days are close to 9 to 10 hour days. And then the last day is like a 7.5 hour drive. So still like, basically, I'm going to be sitting in a car all day for 4 days straight. So I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to the new space for sure. If you guys don't know, I did a video on it a while ago of this space. And this space is a one-bedroom apartment where I turned basically the living room into an office. And while it worked, it's not ideal. I always knew that I was moving, right? So I always knew that this wasn't going to be a permanent thing because we were planning to move across the country anyways. So I never really did anything to the space. I set my desk here and I got this RGB light and you know, I never really made it into a space that I could be ultra productive in. And I think that's one reason why I didn't make as many videos as I've wanted to this year so far. And this place, like this apartment complex is like the worst place I've ever lived in my life. Ryan knows.
Be quiet.
Yeah, the neighbors screaming and dogs barking and fights. It's just like when you're trying to, at least with a podcast, like we have NVIDIA broadcasts. So if there is a,
which I think might be giving you some issues tonight. You're getting a little garbled every now and then.
Oh, really?
Yep. Not always. Yeah. I just sorry.
But anyways, we have NVIDIA broadcasts. So like if there's stuff going on in the background, you don't hear it. But when I would record videos, obviously my camera doesn't have NVIDIA broadcast. Yep. So that would be an issue and a lot of other things. But I'm excited for the new place. I can't wait. Once I'm there, I will feel very relieved and a lot better. That's kind of what I've been up to. So,
And it really shows you like what you do use on a regular basis and what you don't, right? You're like, you say you're 80% packed. 20% of that is probably the stuff that you're constantly using, or you're just like, yeah, I can't put this away till like last minute because I'm going to need it between now and then. And then there's that 80% where you're like, do I need this stuff anymore? Like, it's taking up space. Well, do I need to move it?
That's why we were doing all the giveaways, and we're still going to be doing the giveaways, is because I had so much stuff I just didn't use. And I figure, what better way than just to give it away to you guys, you know, our listeners and our little community that we have here. And they're still going on. We'll definitely talk about that. Because I've been so busy, no reviews. And I did get Comet Lake processors, right? Comet Lake, right? I'm not going crazy. Yeah. 11th gen processors, Z590 motherboards. I do have them. They're behind me. I've been testing them, but I didn't get them till Monday. And there was no way I could get a review done before the podcast. It's just, I feel like the processors were on that big ship in the canal.
Yeah, no, I sent you a message. You said they showed up. I was like, oh, were they stuck in the Suez Canal?
Yeah. So I, like I said, so no reviews this week. Those will be next week. And again, next week we probably won't have a podcast. So we'll talk about them the following week more than likely. I'm like 90% sure we're not going to have a podcast because I don't think I'll be all set up in the new place to do all of that. Right. So yeah. So we'll just jump into other stuff we have going on the site. And of course, news. There's a lot of interesting stories this week, and there's a really interesting case mod that we featured this week, which I really like. I think it's super cool. You don't see these as much because we're focused on these big builds with all this crazy water cooling, but this is something completely different. This is called Betty, and it is a little toaster, a retro toaster that basically the guts of the toaster have been taken out, and the guts of the toaster have been replaced with a PC, and a pretty decent PC for what it is. You can see, you know, this is the toaster retro kind of style. You can see the two fans that were installed at the top, but the internals kind of look something like this, which is have a 2080 Ti in there. You have your SFX power supply, ITX motherboard.
It brings me back to two eras, right? You've got this retro 50s looking toaster, and then the fans on top look like the original, like, blue LED fans that were like all clear plastic, and the fan grills on top of them. So I'm like, I'm stuck between the 50s and late 90s, early 2000s. But I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And you have an AIO, which probably a 120 or 140 in the bottom there. It's again, we focus on all these crazy water builds and stuff like that, but it's just, I mean, just the sheer size of it. I mean, there's a banana. So it is the size of an actual toaster, because that's what it was, you know, actually made out of. You can see the other side with the graphics card and put another fan in there. And I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Is that power supply like glued to the base? It almost looks like it's.
Yeah, it kind of looks like stuff. It looks like there was like these brackets made, and then they probably added the extra glue.
Pretty sure it's probably pretty limited on what your options are. So,
yeah. So, really cool stuff there. Like I said, it's just, you know, here's what it looks like from the other side there. But imagine like going into somebody's house and you just see this sitting on their desk and be like, that's your computer? I'd be like, yeah, man. That's very cool. So that is by Adrian Waters. I found this one on Facebook. So, go ahead and check that out for sure. And talking about the giveaways, we're on week 10. Can you believe it? 10 weeks in a row, we've given away a product, which is, I think, pretty cool.
That's pretty sweet. So
week 10, another portable SSD, because I have so many and I review a lot. And this one is from HP. It's their P700, 1 terabyte. So definitely great for like a video editing drive or a game drive. Super fast. I love portable SSDs. And the one thing that's cool about this one, it's like a two-part SSD that the bottom part comes off and it holds the actual cable. So you'll never lose the cable, which is kind of nice. But just like all of our contests, just, you know, we do it with Gleam. You just enter your email and all that, and you get, you know, there's like 11 extra ways to enter by subscribing to, like, say, like this podcast or liking us on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Again, these are only one week. So 5 days left on this one. Every Tuesday we announce new stuff. And once I get moved in, there's still going to be some, at least 3 or 4 more giveaways. So stay tuned, because we'll have more and more stuff to give away as I unpack the stuff that I packed that I should have given away before I went. But that's just kind of how it worked there. So definitely get in on the giveaway. And we'll move over to news. And we have 3 stories all about mining. The first one is good for NVIDIA, I would say. NVIDIA is set to sell 30 million worth of their CMP, which is their mining specific graphics cards, to a Bitcoin mining corporation. I think this is like their only customer for these.
Someone wanted them, yeah.
We talked about this so many times, is that, you know, as I think I can make some extra money, you know, mining Bitcoin or mining, well, basically if you're mining Ethereum, for the most part. And okay, I'll invest in 10, 20, 30 graphics cards, you know, as a business. And these CMP cards, they're only made for mining. So it doesn't necessarily help me 2 years later when I want to sell these cards off, right?
They're no longer efficient miners, right? So they're not, nobody wants to mine with them. And you can't say, oh, well, at least it's still a video card and I can, you know, it has some value to somebody that wants a video card.
Right? Yeah.
It just doesn't exist with this product.
Yeah. So they sold these to Hut 8 Mining, a $30 million order. So, and George Shapiro in the chat says something about that story just depresses me. $30 million from a mining corporation, kind of dystopian. Yeah, it's. I would love to see, because I've never, like, I've seen pictures, but like I would love to go to like a mining farm and just really see what it's like. Like I've been in, like a colo center, which is really cool if you've never been, to see like the tape backups, which are like. Like to these big boxes.
Yeah, they can be pretty massive. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would love to go. I think there's actually some data, which will be like semi close to where I'm going to be moving to.
And it always feels like the pictures you see online, there's like never an in between. It's either they look super professional in these mining rigs or it's somebody's crummy apartment or garage and they're just like stacked on pizza boxes and crates and like just figuring out any way they can to get these rigs going. You never see, like, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what an actual company setup looks like
for these. Yeah, yeah. So maybe sometime in the future I'll be able to see what that's all about. The next story is kind of there's no clarification on this story, so it is kind of interesting, but we don't have a whole lot of clarification. But apparently 300 of these NVIDIA CMP mining cards, not the ones that were sold to the company, but just 300 of the mining cards were seized by Hong Kong Customs. I don't know if they were stolen. I don't know if, like, there's no clarification on why they were seized. The story kind of talks about how that a lot of these mining companies are taking advantage of electricity, like very, very low cost electricity. They were talking about like Mongolia and other places where like electricity hardly costs anything. And then these mining companies are going in and they're setting up shop there and they're drawing so much power, it's like actually hurting the grid itself, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, this is what 300 of those mining cards look like.
Well, it looks like they're laid out next to some other hardware too, like to the left and right of them. Looks like there's other
hardware.
So was this seized as one big operation? Did they just happen to be in something along with
other equipment?
Who knows?
It's not
made. It'd be interesting to know the full story.
Obviously, this was like a Chinese publication, and there's not a whole lot of clarification. But obviously, the whole mining thing. The article also said that China alone supplies 65% of the global mining power, which is pretty crazy. Wow. Again, lower cost electricity, it makes, you know.
Wait, why is you there... see that? That's not us. That's a thing. Computer.org.
Oh, I was like, why? I was like, why did you type that?
Message? Yeah. No.
I don't know if you can. There's a message in our chat that I thought Ryan sent. I was like, wait a minute.
That's not legit.
Yeah. It was, and the thing is, it's crazy. So we're talking about mining, and wasn't that like a spam for mining?
It was. For Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. So, they're listening, bro. They're listening. So that is our second story about mining. And if we go to our third story here. This is kind of cool because this is something that we've been talking about since the release of the RTX 3060. We reviewed the RTX 3060. Check out the review on the website, or the video is on our YouTube as well. And the RTX 3060, the big story about its launch is that basically NVIDIA, you know, crippled the card for mining. For Ethereum mining, they crippled the card. And the reason they did that is so that more cards would be available to gamers, not miners, right? And the whole idea is that that would actually work. But when you actually, when you actually went there on day one, there were no cards to be had anyways. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's kind of, it was just like, I always said that if I own the card, I should be able to do what I want with it. It doesn't matter what it is. I should be able to do, what I want. And I think a lot of people kind of felt the same way, but whatever. So NVIDIA initially said that this was specific, like there was a hardware handoff. It wasn't software. It wasn't the driver, right? Mm-hmm. And then they accidentally updated the driver and took off the limitation. So it all became driver. So they all became like everybody knew that it wasn't hardware specific. It was software specific. So when they updated that, it kind of fixed a few things. But you still had to be connected. You still had to have a monitor connected at all times, right? And then mm-hmm. the card itself had to be connected to an X8 or higher PCI Express slot. So we saw a four-way RTX 3060 mining rig because they used HDMI dummy plugs. So we talked about that like 2 weeks ago. Now, somebody was able to get 7 cards running using HDMI dummy plugs and a specific motherboard with using the risers and all that stuff. So this is kind of what it looks like. All of the cards, these are all Zotac cards. And as you can see, they're using the risers here. So they said it only works with this specific motherboard, which we don't know which motherboard it is.
Yeah, I was looking to see if I could find what board that was.
But basically, in less than a month since launch, miners have found out a way to just get the limitation off, right? Yep. Which is pretty...
kind of sad.
Pretty sad. Something that NVIDIA said that there was a hardware handoff or it's directly, it's hardware based. You're not going to be able to take it off with software. It's been defeated, and that just shows you that miners will do what they, if they want to mine, they're going to no matter what.
Miners said, "Hold my beer," and then they figured out a way to do it, right?
Yeah. So that's it was George says in the chat, and guys, if you are in the chat, if you want to talk with us or, engage with us, definitely shoot some stuff in the chat. George says it was to encourage the sale of mining cards, which is a kind of product that can mop resources that might otherwise be wasted. Disingenuous nonsense, but helping gamers. Yeah, I like the idea of being gamers or getting more cards out to gamers, but I think we all knew, at least in my head, I was like, they're going to be sold out anyways, which they were. Yeah. And at the same time, I don't like a company limiting my product, right? Like if I have have this pen and this pen, if this pen, like if you limit what I can do with this pen, then I don't actually fully own, it's like one of those things.
It's like it's my keyboard. Like this is a computer keyboard. But guess what? It works on my Xbox too. Oh, no. We've put in firmware so that you can't use it there. And you're like,
yeah, why not? You have to buy our Xbox keyboard. Right. Yeah.
Got to buy the Xbox keyboard. You're like, no, like it's the same thing. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel about it. But it's at least these guys figured out a way to,
skirt just, around it.
Yeah. Get around it in less than a month too. So yeah. So another interesting thing, GPU related, that came out this past week is that Gigabyte, what's ES? What's the country ES? That's
Spain.
Spain, yeah. Gigabyte Spain put out this graphic, which I'll show you guys.
I love this.
And it is a concept. This is obviously a render. This is not a real graphics card, but this is a way of not only kind of like showing off, I guess, your shroud of your graphics card, but at the same time, it helps with cooling, right? Because you have your heat sinks here, but if you see over here, there's a heat sink as well. And it puts the card kind of on this more of like a display. In a sense, it's more to display the card rather than just have it the way you would normally see a graphics card. I like this idea. I don't know how efficient it would be. Since there's more room, technically, I would think you would have more, like there'd be more room for air to flow, you know, flow through the card, I would say.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn with this image, because if you like actually look at how the bracket is, that's not how GPUs are laid out right now. Because the way the backplate goes and the little tab for like screwing in is actually opposite, kind of. So I don't know if they flip the image, whatever the case may be. I think it could be cool though, you know, kind of doing an angled card. And we've seen some angled brackets. I think Cooler Master has that.
Yeah, I love the angled brackets.
Which really looks cool. Yeah. You know, and this isn't necessarily that same thing, because your GPU is still the PC board is still going to sit flat or vertical depending on how you mount it, but your cooling solution's at an angle. So I think you could still get some neat looks, plus maybe some better cooling out of it.
Yeah.
So it's neat. Cool. It's something new.
Yeah. So like I said, they just put it up on, you know, and it wasn't April 1st. So I don't think it was an April Fool's. They posted it, so I don't know, but yeah, pretty interesting there. We'll see if any future products come out of that. What else we have? So everybody's been talking about resizable bar on graphics cards, adding more performance, a little bit more performance. Well, EVGA and the Precision X1 software, that is their kind of companion software that comes with their graphics cards, allows you to overclock a lot of other stuff. They've added the resizable bar into it. So it kind of gives you this checklist, which is really nice, because depending on the motherboard that you have in the graphics card that you have to do certain things. You need, you know, you have to be running as certain drivers. Like, they have this checklist, which I think is really, really nice, right? It just makes it easier for somebody, because again, they're like a lot of beginners, like they hear about this thing, oh, how do I enable it? What do I do to enable it? This gives you the checklist right in the Precision X1 software, right? Pretty cool, right?
That just comes starting with 30 series though, correct? Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like I said, it's already in the software. It makes sure that you have everything that you need and it enables it. And there is a graph. You can see the difference, you know, the performance with those things turned on and off, and it just, again, just makes it easy. And if you don't have the right like vBIOS for the card, you know, you just hit update. Oops, hit update in the software. And
not a real button. Just,
yeah, not a real. I was like, yeah, you hit update, hit the button, and then it goes to the next image. But yeah, pretty cool stuff there. So just making it easier for people to enable that feature if you want to.
Yep. That'd be a nice thing, I think, if NVIDIA put that into like GeForce Experience or something as well, you know?
You know how that goes.
I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm just saying it'd be nice if it was there.
Yeah. We need an all-in-one, all-encompassing NVIDIA software. We like NVIDIA GeForce Experience, but we don't like NVIDIA Control Panel. You need to remake the software into one.
Yes.
Because NVIDIA Control Panel is from 1998.
Yes, it is.
GeForce Experience is much newer. So it just needs to be all put in one. I'm talking about NVIDIA. The RTX 3050 and 3050 Ti mobile GPUs and their benchmarks were revealed, actually. So you can see these are from Notebook Check. So we will see, at least on the mobile side, an RTX 3050 Ti and an RTX 3050. Pretty cool. We have all the benchmarks if you want to check it out. It looks like the 3050 is much, much higher performance than the 1650 and 1650 Ti. It is a little bit below the 1660 Ti Max Q. And then the 3050 Ti sits above the 1660 Ti Max Q, but is slightly below the RTX 2060 Max Q. So that's kind of where it sits. So basically, more or less like a 1660, like the 3050 is a 1660 replacement. The 3050 Ti is a 1660 Ti replacement, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I get mixed up with these numbers so much.
I saw, and I think they've changed their article. The Verge had an article about some new Dell laptops that were Ryzen powered, and they were going to have, you know, the RTX 3060 mobile available.
Oh, nice.
In them. So kind of got me thinking. And they were showing like the base price was like $800. I'm like,
yeah, right. This seems like, I think the 3050 will be the base, right? So if you want to go discrete, I think 3050 and 3050 Ti will be base, 3060, 3070, 3080. Yeah. I think that's how it will go. But yeah, I'm just like, we always talk about this on the podcast. We always talk about like new laptop. Yeah. Yep. And then I'm like, well, do I need a laptop? No, not
really. And right now, my CPU on my laptop is the GPU. It's like a 1050 Ti. Those are the two things holding it back. You know, if it wasn't for those, it's still fine. I put 32 gigs of RAM in it. You know, it's got a couple solid state drives in it. It does just fine. So I don't really need one. I don't ever game with it. So, but I could if I wanted to.
It's always like I said, like every time we would go to CES and go to NVIDIA, and then you see the laptops and they're running the games, and
it's,
you're like,
so thin and it's running it so nice. Yeah. That sure looks.
But the thing is, you really think about is that if you're at home, you're always going to be on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger screen in front of you, more power. And how often are you actually on the road using that laptop? And if you're on the road, how often are you actually gaming? Right.
Right.
That's kind of it.
Yeah, I don't travel for work, right? So, okay, that cuts that whole thing out. I don't travel that much anyways. So, nah.
Yeah. So another NVIDIA story. We talk about RTX Voice. We use it. I'm talking into like, you know, for RTX Voice. And we love RTX Voice. But it was specifically marketed when it came out as a RTX-only thing. Mm-hmm. RTX only, because according to NVIDIA, it uses your Tensor cores, which are on 20 and 30 series graphics cards, to do that noise removal and all of that. And then, and again, if you have an NVIDIA card, I would highly suggest installing RTX Voice or NVIDIA Broadcast, one of the two. Now, the RTX Voice app was hacked a couple months ago to allow GTX cards to use it unofficially. This was a hack that you could do that allowed to use the CUDA cores in a GTX card to do the voice manipulation, right? Well, now NVIDIA just quietly patched the RTX software, and now all cards from the 30 series down to the GTX 600 series support RTX Voice. So that's kind of nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So basically, if you have an older card, you can use it. It is going to tax your GPU more because it's using specific cores that are going to be used that you would normally use to render out scenes and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. But this is the RTX Voice specific app. It's not NVIDIA Broadcast. NVIDIA Broadcast only works with 20 and 30 series.
Think of how nice this would be for, you know, you've got an older GPU, and let's say you're doing a podcast and you want to just take advantage of that audio feature of cutting out the background noise, enabling that. If you're not doing a bunch of other video stuff in your podcast or, you know, whatever recording, this is awesome.
I mean, it would be like this, like I could run an older card in here because we're using StreamYard. So I don't really have a whole lot of video. Mm-hmm. It's not taking a whole lot of horsepower to run the podcast that we're doing right now. So yeah, I think it's really cool. All the way down to 600 series. You remember the 600 series, man? That's so long ago.
I have a 460 in the storage room. I know that.
Gotcha. Well, talking about old stuff, I don't know if you remember back when, like, I don't know how many years ago this was. I don't know if it's in the article. But ASRock used to have an overclocking brand motherboards called OC Formula. I'm sure that like name might ring a bell to some people. ASRock's OC Formula. Well, they're bringing it back with Z590. So they're bringing back, it's the Z590 OC Formula motherboard. This was co-designed with Nick. I can't say it. I can never say his last name right. Professional overclocker. And it's made, this board is made for overclocking. That's what it's made for, which is really, really cool. I kind of like
the
color
it.
Design brings you back a little bit to like those older days, you know what I mean? Interesting M.2 slot right here too, by the
way. I don't know that we've seen a vertical oriented drive, but you think about it's only got two memory slots, right? Because it's mostly for overclocking. It's an extended, I don't know if it's quite EATX, but it's wider than an ATX.
Definitely XL or EATX for sure.
Right. So you've got a little extra space there. Why not put a drive there, I guess?
Look at all the buttons.
All those buttons,
I love the buttons. You have the dip switches for your three PCI Express slots here. I don't know what this one does. You have these two other buttons over here, which with all these buttons, I have no clue what these do. You have, it looks like these right here down at the bottom. Those are your contact points to do your voltage readings. Lots of space around the actual socket. So you can put down the putty for doing LN2. Obviously dual 8-pin over here.
It always cracks me up though that like this has wireless on it and there's still sound card built in, and it's obviously you can tell the sound components are isolated from the rest. It just cracks me up that it's an overclocking board, but they'll still throw stuff in if you just want to use this in a regular build.
Yeah, so pretty cool. And interesting little detail here. So I assume this is just like a piece of plexi.
Yeah, glowing there. It looks
that
cool.
That's a little different. I don't think we've seen that before. So yeah, I don't know if they list the price. No price. This should be fairly expensive, depending. I don't know what the VRMs on this either. So this is 16 phase, all 90 amp power stages, 50 amp Dr. Moss MOSFETs, 12 layer server grade PCB. So this thing's like made for, you know, high end overclocking, which is pretty cool. So definitely, that's kind of cool to see them bring back an old brand. You know what I mean? I still remember, and I always talk about this, is like the DFI
LAN party.
Those are my favorite boards, man. That was like one of the first builds I ever did was the DFI LAN party.
Yeah, or was it, I think Chain Tech, somebody had like a pistol like on the board.
MSI had a pistol on the board.
Maybe it was MSI, just all sorts of crazy colors on components on the boards.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore because people get upset if you put guns on things. But talking about MSI, they also have a pretty cool Z590 special edition board. This is their Z590 Ace Gold Edition. So it's kind of the same as their Z590 Ace, but it's sort of like this metallic silver with the gold accents, which I do love. I really like this color design. It would have been better with a white PCB.
But it had hide all those solder points, which I think would look nicer. It just looks a little busy to me with the black PCB.
But I do like the gold. Anytime you can incorporate gold into and gold with like another lighter color. So it's like, cause when you put gold on black, it doesn't
stick out as much. Yeah.
It doesn't stick out as much as if you put it like on the silver and all of that. And I'm pretty sure that this logo that you hate, I know you hate the dragon, but the MSI dragon logo, I'm assuming that lights up, which would be pretty cool as well. So, check that one out. Again, really.
And it looks like it's got a shield or a plate on the back of it, too. Okay.
Yeah. With your awesome MSI dragon logo. So you have all that. So really cool. Some really cool Z590 boards if you haven't seen them. This is going to be priced at 500 big ones. $500.
Yep.
So So yeah, so go ahead and check that out in the chat. Old man is in the house. He's usually here every week, one of our regulars. So what's going on? He said those boards look a little out of my price range. Yeah, me too. I do like the way they, I do like these special edition boards, because every generation, right, every motherboard generation or every refresh or update or new processor, there is somebody who's building like their first time PC, or they're upgrading. They haven't upgraded in like 5-6 years. So they've saved up like $2,000-$3,000, and they're going to go all out on this PC, and they want something that, like, you know, a special edition board like that. Like, they want something like that. And I think that's really cool, because again, not everybody's going to buy it, but if this is like your PC you're going to have for the next 5-7 years, I'd go all out for sure. Cause I know I'm going to, you know, have it for that long of time. So yeah. What else we have? So Creative put out a pretty cool audio product this week. It is called their their GC7 gaming DAC and amp, and it looks pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I saw this. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, so it's pretty, like I said, there. One thing I love about the Sound Blaster products is while you do have this, like, it all integrates with their software, which has so much stuff that you can really do with audio. Like, you can get a little Sound Blaster internal, external audio card, and then the software allows you to really, like, make full use of the sound, which is cool. But it's their first premium gaming DAC and amp all in one. And it has, like, controls on it, so you can do your volume. You can switch your gain between the game and the voice. I love headsets that have that. It's like, so like when we play, I can have the game sound up more than like my friends. So I don't, so if Ryan's screaming about something, I don't hear him as much. I can hear the people around me. You know, and then, looks like these C123 are like their custom buttons you can set. And then you can also set like your mic, your treble. It supports Sound Blaster Super X5, which if you haven't used is excellent.
Pretty awesome. Yep.
Yeah. I still think that it's better for media consumption than gaming. Mm-hmm. But it's still pretty cool for gaming as well. So
yeah, it's a new product.
Yeah. Yeah. So check that out as well. It's expensive. It's $219. But yeah, it has a DAC, it's an audiophile class DAC, 24-bit, 192 kilohertz PCM playback, 7.1 versatile surround sound, Dolby Digital decoding, ton of stuff in there. I'm not an audio person, but there's a lot built into this, which is really cool. So yeah, go ahead and check that out.
Do you want to go back to that Gigabyte monitor? You skipped it.
Oh, did I skip it? Yeah. Yep. Real quick. Ryan A, I can't say that. I'm sorry, I can't say your name. I'm like really bad at names. But yeah, what is going on? He or she is in the chat. He asked me how the moving situation is going. Well, as you can see, there's a ton of boxes behind me. And as Ryan said, I'm about 80% packed with everything is getting loaded on the truck on Friday, and it is Wednesday evening. So we're getting there. The next couple of days are going to be interesting, to say the least. So I skipped a story, which is something that I also want. I get this gaming DAC, I can get this monitor, be all set up in the new place if I get
both. Be all set, yeah.
So Gigabyte has announced, they had a little event, which is kind of crazy because we don't have live events anymore. Mm-hmm. But they had an event in Vietnam, and one of the highlights of that event was their new 40-inch monitor. It is the Aorus FV43U, 43-inch, 144 hertz gaming display. I like displays like this because this can be not only used as a monitor, but I always think, because I remember when I was in college, like we had a TV, and then we had like, you had a TV, and then you had like your monitor, like the, and when I was in college, it was like a big like CRT monitor. But like a lot of people, they want to buy one display that they can use for multiple things. And I think 43 inches is big enough that you can consume like content on it. And it's really nice for gaming. And 144 hertz is really, really good as well. So that's kind of what the display looks like. It's not curved or anything like that.
No, it looks nice. Yeah, I think it would look good like on a TV stand too. It looks like a normal TV. It doesn't look like some flashy, weird looking gaming device. It looks like a pretty standard new, you know, flat screen TV, which I think will help it.
Yeah, as it's 4K. Again, 143 hertz, 97% coverage of DCI-P3. It also has HDR 1000, so it's very bright, so 1000 nits. Right. So it is a very, very good monitor, 1ms response time. Pretty excited. Price tag of 168,000 yen, which I don't know what that is in US. I probably should put that in the article, but yeah, pretty cool monitor. I like seeing the big, you know, the bigger monitors. We saw those like 3 or 4 years ago with those NVIDIA big gaming displays, but I think that at that time that was like very niche, and I think these are going to be coming into their own as like a lot of people, as these prices of these monitors come down, people are like, why would I get like a 24 or 27 inch? So it's like
$1,500.
That's not bad. For the specs, I don't think it's bad. 144 hertz.
43 inch, 4K, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. This is something that I think you would be more interested in, our next story here. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft is now using... We've seen this before. We've seen this multiple times. But we haven't like seen it on a... It's more or less the implementations that I've seen are kind of just like, they're not real implementations. They're like niche implementations. Like not a lot of people actually do this. Well, apparently Microsoft is going to be doing this for their servers, Microsoft Cloud and all that other stuff for their data centers. And this is pretty damn awesome. If you look at the picture, you can see that these servers, which are kind of like blades, they're in a 3M liquid that doesn't, of course, hurt the servers themselves. That's a really small picture. This allows the servers, which you can see the CPUs kind of right here, they don't need to have heat sinks on them, which actually saves space. So they're in this, you can see right here, like they're in, you know, they're all numbered and they're so close together because they don't need the big heat sink fan or anything like that. And they don't need like a water cooler that would take up extra space with all the tubing and everything. It's kind of like in this, I guess you would call it almost like a refrigerator or freezer. Like a chest freezer where you just put the blades down in this liquid, which is pretty awesome.
But it's like, okay, so how much does this liquid cost? What does this box that they're putting them in cost? Like,
well, if you think about it,
what's our crossover? I mean, if you can get them dense enough, maybe
that's the thing. Right? So instead of
density out of the same space,
what is there? There's 20. Say there's 20 in there, right? Mm-hmm. I would say with air cooling, you'd fit 5 in each side. With like liquid cooling, you don't think you'd fit 5?
You'd fit more than that.
I don't know. With like,
the blade chassis now, yeah, you could fit more than 5. But still, I mean, that could be just like 20 blades, but the one they had pulled out looked like it had at least 2 CPUs on it, you know. So who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, all this equipment in order to run that seems like a lot, but maybe not.
Yeah. And then George says,
that's cool either way. He said
probably a relatively nicer, quieter work environment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is too, is it possibly could use less power.
Yeah.
We don't know. So it's pretty cool. I think it's cool. I love going in these places. Like, I'd love to go in this data center and just like see this stuff working. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It'd be really, really cool. We were at CES. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. Gigabyte had like a demo of this for their server stuff. And it was really cool. Really, really cool to see. So very, very cool stuff there as well. And this is an interesting story. I see this one coming. I don't know if anybody saw this coming. This is not really computer related. It's more cell phone related. But it looks like LG is closing their mobile phone business completely. They're just getting out of the mobile phone business. See, I've been on iPhone so long. I know like this phone was big. This, whatever this one was. And there's a couple other LGs. Wasn't LG one of the first ones that did like the curved phone too? I think.
Curved phone?
Yeah, like they use the curved glass in the phone.
Maybe.
But yeah, yeah, so I mean, how big? So many... I mean, there's obviously like Apple, Samsung, and then like what, Google? Does Google actually make their own phone? They make their own handset?
They're going to be making it. I know like the first couple were HTC, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Is who the builder was on those. And then, you know, whether they've just worked with like Foxconn or somebody on on more recent ones. I don't remember what they're built by. But yeah, I mean, those are, you know, Apple, Samsung, HTC, except HTC really isn't that big. Motorola.
Yeah. I think it's just so hard to like, so it, I mean, obviously Apple is its own thing, its own ecosystem, right? But like on the other side, it's so hard.
There's so
to
many
beat Samsung, right? Because Samsung's like the number one.
Yeah, but I am not a Samsung fan as far as phones go.
What do you have?
The Pixel. Well, I'm on a Pixel 4 XL, so okay. I'm kind of excited. There's been some rumors coming out about the Pixel 6 that look kind of cool, so I'm kind of getting excited for that. But this thing, I got it like pretty much release day. And it's coming up on a year and a half now. So 2 years, you know, it'll be about time to upgrade. But this thing runs like a champ. I have no complaints, no slowdowns, anything. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not a Samsung fan. I don't like their bottom button layout. It's switched from every other
don't
Android.
Don't they use their own
version of the OS?
And
I don't like the curved edges on their phones, you know, the curved screen, and they have some neat features.
I mean, but at least I thought like LG, and I could be wrong, but I mean, I thought they were like a very good competing brand against all the other brands, like them, HTC, Motorola, whatever. Like they were, you know, they were kind of, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's had an LG, right? Like the old, like, or I'm thinking Nokia, but still, yeah, LG's been around for quite a while.
Yeah. So, Greg in the chat said the phone that I was talking about was the LG Flex, which I'm going to try to bring up a video of it. Yeah, I remember seeing this at CES. It was like a big deal. Here, let's.
Okay, yeah, I remember this thing.
It was like slightly curved. It wasn't like the folding ones that we have now, but it was like slightly curved. Because I remember seeing this at CS, and I was like, "Yeah, it's like curved glass. Like that's cool," you know. Let's see if there's another. There, wait. You know, which like now we think like, oh, we see that all the time in like monitors, but this was like a while back, you know. So. So yeah, I just always thought that LG was a pretty big competitor. So it's kind of surprising that they're getting out of the business. You know what I mean?
Yep. I agree with Joseph in the chat. He's, you know, he says not a Samsung fan, except when it comes to storage. Which, yeah, I mean, Samsung makes a lot of awesome products, right? Their TVs are great. Their SSDs obviously are awesome, and they make a bunch of other great products. Just as far as phones go, I've never been a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I guess there's one less competitor in the Android space.
Yeah.
Shinny is in the chat. He said, I had a Galaxy Nexus back in the day. It was also curved like that, but not as pronounced. Yeah, I remember when, like, curved glass, like, it was, like, the cool thing, and, like, every company was making something curved. I remember when it first hit TVs, and then the phones, and then there was, like, some laptops that had, like, a weird, like, the thing. Because I remember, especially for TVs, it was like we had like OHD, like going to 4K, and then it was, remember the 3D TVs?
Ugh. I like from day one, I was like, no, I don't want a 3D
TV. It was just like a holdover. Not gonna, like,
they were just jamming that in our faces, like, yes, you want this, and nobody wanted it. And I'm so glad we're gone from that.
Yeah. Also, back in the chat, because I, you know how good I am at reading the chat, Old Man had said, what we were talking about with the submerged servers, he said it reminds me of the mineral oil builds. The entire PC was submerged. I remember people doing this, like, as like as somebody who, you know, this is like your mod, your case mod. Like, that's pretty crazy to do, right?
Well, and you'd some people though would forget, like, you have to have some sort of flow of that fluid. Otherwise, like, it would get hot spots. So the CPU would actually get hotter than normal because the fluid around it would get hot and stay hot, but wouldn't like circulate with the rest. So you had to kind of have like pumps sort of circulating that, which was kind of funny. And then, like, if you put certain hard drives, you know, a lot of them will have like a vent hole, and there's usually a sticker on old hard drives that say like "do not cover" or whatever, right? You put those in there, well, the liquid gets inside the drive and isn't good. So some things you didn't always want to put in there, but yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Old Man also said, I've seen some people complain about bloatware on Samsung phone and ads on their TVs after firmware updates. They're trying to monetize their customer base. Yeah, I mean, I like my Samsung TV. This is the first Samsung TV that I've owned. It's a QLED smart TV. I'm a fan of it, and I do like that they have like their own, like, as long as you're connected to the internet, you have like Samsung TV, which is like 20 channels of like free stuff. It's like there's like Fail Armies on there and like some stuff you can just throw on if you don't want to, you know.
Well, they have a lot of good integration between their things, right? Like, my boss has, he's big on, he's got a Samsung phone, Samsung TV, Samsung fridge, right? So like all three of those really do tie together pretty nicely. Like, there's a lot of things you can do between them.
Yeah, because they're all part of like that. I think it's Samsung Smart Things. That's like their the ecosystem. Exactly. And as long as, once we start doing that home, the home integration, things really work together. So, I don't know. But my, like, at my new place, it has new appliances. Wonder if any of them are smart. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's like turn my oven on, preheat my oven for my phone or something. Shinny said, if they make a 3D TV that you don't need glasses for, that'd be cool. Yeah, the thing is about that,
it's like the 3DS.
It's like, I've always thought 3D was cool, but there's no good implementation of 3D like that actually looks real that I've ever seen. You know, it's like you see like the holograms and stuff, but like in person, it doesn't look that great. It doesn't. I would rather watch like a crisp 4K, 8K, 6K image on like a sick ass TV over a 3D. Looks like it's
some of the things look 3D, but some of them don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never enjoyed it. You know, at the theater, you had to put on the glasses and they'd always be scuffed up anyways and dirty. So you'd be like trying to clean them ahead of time and then they're not comfortable. And I never enjoyed the 3D.
Yeah. Is like shoved down our throat too, because they had nothing else. 4K was already out, and then the whole war between HD DVD and Blu-ray was like over, so like they had nothing else. There was no other technology at the time, so they're like 3D, and it was horrible.
And everybody said no, thankfully.
George said there was some layered folding laptop screens. There was a Dell XPS in the mid-2000s that folded out into three panels. I actually remember Lenovo. Was it a ThinkPad that had once it was like a 17 inch and then like another 13 inch screen pulled out from it? It was pretty cool, but it was huge. It was like this massively big laptop.
Well, wasn't there the Razer like prototype that got stolen from CES one year?
Yeah, that was three screens as well.
Yeah.
So our last story is sad because, not that I was going to go, but I just like seeing live events come back. Just like kind of surprised that Aorus or Gigabyte Monitor was announced at an event. E3 this year has been announced that it is going to be online only. I just want live events to come back, man. You know, online only events, just how they did it, you know, in 2020. So this is the first, the first big one that we're not going to get this year. Do you think we'll see some other big events like Computex? And I mean, the Computex, they did say is going to be like virtual/
kind of a weird mix. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if any of the other big events that we usually follow will be online only. I guess I get, where isn't E3 in LA?
Yeah.
I guess I could go. So. I guess we'll find out.
Not this year.
Well, not this year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You buy all the cool stuff.
I know. That's the one thing. So one of the big things I'm looking forward to moving to California, because I'm not looking forward to the taxes and some of the other things. But I will be closer to a lot of the big events that happen because it's just so costly to go across the country, even to Vegas for CES. I mean, from Pittsburgh, that's a whole day of travel, and it's expensive. Now I can like drive to a lot of these events, so maybe we'll do a lot more live event coverage, which would be kind of fun.
Well, and you're a lot closer to like a lot of these companies anyhow, right? Like when you've been out there previously, you know, you've been able to, you know, schedule a visit to go take, you know, chat with the people that you work with, you know, on a pretty regular basis, but actually, you know, see the warehouses, work with them. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I will be probably having some pretty cool content once I get all settled and everything. But talking about moving, I did have some stuff here. I posted this one on my social media if you follow me on my on Facebook, but I found these the other day.
Yeah.
Which, if it will, there.
Dude, those are some, like,
these are
those are old, some heat sinks.
These are the old HyperX DDR3. I love these when they came out. One, because they were blue. So back in the day, not a lot of companies were doing like different color memory, right? It's you know, so, and they're huge. Like, look how, just like how
it's like two sticks stacked on top of each other. They're
enormous. Yeah, massive heat sinks with the red Kingston, which actually are the red HyperX and the Kingston logo on the side. But like that, the red looks so good on the blue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
These are like one of the few old pieces that I'm keeping. And then I found this old graphics card, but it's not actually that old. I don't even know what this is. I think this is it. What is this? I don't know what this is. Hold on. I'll show it to you guys. But it's like an older MSI card that I found. I don't.
A twin frozer.
2 gig. It's a 2 gig card.
It should say on the little product number, right?
That says N770TF.
NVIDIA 7. Was there a 770? No.
I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Well, NVIDIA 770TF is twin frozer.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's so crazy to see how, so like if you look at these heat sinks, they're not all that big and they're not all that dense. And there's like heat pipes on it and everything, but like it's not heavy as like,
it doesn't weigh a ton.
Well, yeah, and it's so crazy to think because we're on this. I think this is Twin Frozer 2, right? This is TF2, so I think it's Twin Frozer 2. Maybe. But like we're on Frozer 7 or 8 now. So it's kind of cool to see, like, looking at this compared to like the Twin Frozer that's out there now. And like the fans are kind of normal fan. Like they're not like they're fans or anything like that. So it's pretty cool to see. I don't know what this is. I pulled this out of an old system that I had in my storage unit. So, I don't know. I really wish. Cool. Yeah, because usually it says it like on the PCB somewhere. And like I said, it says N770. So I don't know.
N770?
N770.
Dash. What was it?
N770TF2GD5-OC. /OC. Yeah. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's a GTX 770 card. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's not the oldest card I have because I have a GeForce. I have a really old GeForce card as well. That's actually in the box, not open, but this is probably the oldest graphics card that I have. So and George says,
yeah,
you know, you should probably upgrade your GPU when you're talking about a newer card than as if it's ancient history. Yeah, well, I mean, that's ancient history to me. And luckily, like I said, I get a lot of these cards to review. So, yeah. It's cool to see the progression. If you have like an older card on hand and you can compare it to like a newer card just to see how things have changed. This is pretty cool.
Yep.
But yeah. So coming up next week, obviously, like I said, we won't have a podcast next week because I think next Wednesday is when I actually get internet installed, and I don't even know if I'm gonna have my desk set up. I don't know if I'm gonna survive the 4-day trek across the country, so I think I'm just gonna spend that whole week to get everything back set up. But we will have at least one review of a 11th gen CPU, probably the i9, which I'm gonna get done. I'm almost like 90% done with the testing, and then we'll have the review up next end of this week, next week sometime. Also, we do have Z590 motherboards coming up. I wanted to test them all. So we have, when you read each review, you can see the results against other motherboards. I think that would only make sense. So those are probably going to be further out. And then Ryan has the mouse review of the HyperX Pulsefire Haste, which he's been decently better at video games since using it, I would say. So this is their lightweight gaming mouse. I'm a fan of. Are you a fan of lightweight, or you're going back? Have you gone back to a heavier mouse?
No, I've always been a fan of a lighter weight mouse. Now, like, this is the first true lightweight mouse that I've had. My previous mouse, that I used all the time and like would always switch back to, was the Corsair Harpoon, and it was a little bit lighter. But this thing, I think, has just like is gonna just be my mouse now, because
it's like
I do like the lighter.
Yeah, I still have the Model D here, the glorious. I think this is 62 grams, maybe
59, but yeah, like, on this one, so it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it just feels so much better in your hand, I feel. So,
yeah, definitely.
Shinny said that's a 2 gig card, still 1 gig. I still have a 650 boost on my shop. I used to have a lot of older hardware that I got rid of. You just can't keep it all. Like, especially when you're like, I've moved multiple times in the past couple of years, and it's, you just can't keep it all. So it looks like we will be gaming. Shinny's in the chat, so I assume we'll be playing some Apex Legends. So that's going to be pretty fun. It'll be my last time gaming here, and my last time gaming for at least, I would say, till the next podcast, probably, because I'm going to be so busy unpacking and doing all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate everybody who's been in the chat, and of course everybody who listens later on as well. Wish me luck on my move, and definitely follow along. So I'll be posting stuff not only on my own personal social media, but Think Computer social media throughout the trip, throughout the like building up of the office, because I think I'm gonna set my desk up, and then over time the office is going to evolve into kind of really what I want it to be. So that's going to take some time, obviously, but definitely stay tuned for all of that. And I will be launching or releasing a video this Friday. It's the last video that I shot here. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. So if you want to or continue listening to us talk and all of that and play games, we're going to be over on Twitch. We switch it. We go from Facebook and YouTube. We go over to Twitch. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan should begin that stream up. So as soon as we get off here, you guys can jump over there. So we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Like I said, hopefully I survive and we'll